Welcome to Rebecca Neal, the podcast, where I, Rebecca, your host, share thought-provoking episodes with you to help you take your life from where it is now to where you want it to be. I have a huge desire and passion to help people just like you get out of their own way and start living the life that they deserve. I'm here to help you feel empowered, educated, and inspired to get into massive action and create change in your life today. Join me weekly as I share insights into the online business world, social media, and many other motivational topics, and also interview some of the world's most incredible humans to help you become the best version of yourself. Hello and welcome back to Rebecca Neal, the podcast. Today's guest is beautiful Krista Ryerson. She is the founder of Chalice Grove, which is a health and wellness platform, and she is a sought-after expert in the field of Golden Age astrology. She has a background in psychology, astrology, Kundalini yoga, and the mind-body-soul connection. Krista's wisdom derives from many initiations that catapulted her on this path. Her company has a variety of services, which include quantum cryo, Golden Age astrology, public speaking, retreat facilitation, and her signature coaching and mentorship program, the Astro Sessions. I'm so thrilled to invite you to the show today, Krista. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So exciting. So I always ask my guests, how do they have their coffee? I think it tells you a lot about someone's morning routine or what they're up to. Maybe you don't drink coffee. So how do you have your coffee?
Yeah, I don't actually drink coffee and I'm a faster. So I don't actually take any sort of food or any substance in the morning that's going to initiate my metabolism. I do drink a coffee substitute because I love the flavor of coffee, but my nervous system doesn't respond that well to it. And I feel really hypersensitive for the rest of the day. So what I use as a substitute is called Dandy Blend. I'm not sure if you have that over there, but it's dandelion roots and it's really bitter and has a coffee taste to it. And then I add 5 different types of mushrooms for health. And then I put in my favorite non-cream creamer. And that's my favorite way to have a coffee-like beverage in the morning.
I love that because it's a great question because it opens up to understand what you do because you still have a coffee idea, it sounds like, obviously.
Yeah.
What are the 5 mushrooms though? I mean, I don't know a lot about mushrooms in a sense. I know they're in the immune system, but I didn't know there was 5 different types that we could consume.
Yeah, there's many different types. I'm not even sure what all of them are in there now. It's been so long that I don't even look at the ingredients anymore. I've been taking this blend for a really long time, but it's really great for liver support. So there's like ashwagandha and reishi and just a bunch of different edible mushrooms that are not psychedelic. They're actually designed to help the body, the immune system in the body. And many people don't know, but the mycelium network and mushrooms, they're so powerful for the contribution to the ways that trees share what they need within the soil. And so mushrooms have this capacity to create connectivity, which is why they're so great for the human body as well, as long as obviously they're edible.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I actually watched a documentary a little while ago. It was a mushroom documentary. I can't remember what it's called now. It was so amazing. And it showed, like you said, the nervous system and the way our bodies work are just like the tree root system, right? So, so powerful. I love that you mentioned they're not psychedelic because I was like, ooh, I wonder if she's into psychedelic mushrooms. Would that be something you do? They're pretty popular now though, right?
Yeah, I do actually from time to time I'll microdose. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who makes a blend that's really powerful and really beautiful. Again, because of my sensitivity, which leads me to be able to do the work that I do, microdosing is the only way I can really go. I don't macro anything at this stage in the game. It just doesn't serve me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I definitely feel I am someone that's quite sensitive, especially to alcohol and things like that as well. So I'm not as open to trying psychedelics and things because of that reason. It kind of is a bit of a fear around that for me because I know I'm sensitive to stimulants.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of research through MAPS that helps people with PTSD or anxiety. I know I've read on your Instagram that that's something that you dealt with. I definitely dealt with anxiety that catapulted me onto this path, to be honest. And so it can be really helpful in that way, because repressed trauma can be living in the cells in the body. And sometimes using these sorts of substances, these organic plant-based substances, whether that's THC through cannabis, or whether that's mushrooms, psilocybin, they really can help you go to those places. And so I know a lot of people use it for that reason. And a lot of people obviously abuse them too, but there's many people who use these as plant medicine to help their bodies heal.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends that actually dabble with the microdosing now. It's so big over here as well. So, and I did research and listen to that documentary about that, where they did talk about the trauma as well.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I had a resistance to for a long time, because my background, I did abuse drugs for a while. And so I wasn't consciously engaging into that space. And so when I pulled my foot off the gas, I did not touch anything. And I was really, really clean and pure in that way for a really long time, including alcohol. And then, as you know, the pendulum swings back, I ended up being able to start to just look at and explore for myself in a really conscious container, what that would do for my consciousness.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the idea of it opening up. Like, it's the pineal gland. Is that right? Is that how it works as well in some sense?
Yeah. You know, I don't know the exact science behind it, but you do end up having, because it becomes visionary, it is a visionary type of plant medicine. And so the pineal gland and the secretions of that would definitely be influenced in order to open up your vision. But again, that's not my specialty, so I don't know what the science is.
Yeah, of course. So let's start at the beginning, and I guess tell us a little bit more about who you are and how your offers work. You know, what is Chalice Grove and what is it all about?
Yeah, beautiful. So I'm Krista Ryerson and I live in Canada. So wherever you're listening, I'm all the way over in cold Canada, although it's quite warm and it has been a really, really nice winter. I own a company called Chalice Grove, and this is a health and wellness platform. It started 5 years ago. It was a very different offering than it is now. Now it specializes in coaching and mentorship. And this coaching and mentorship is spiritual based. So I help guide people. I help to liberate them from lifetimes and lineages of limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I do this through epigenetic and psychological patterns. I also do this through golden age astrology codes and through quantum healing that helps to facilitate a connection between the mind and the body to align an individual with their soul and their soul's path.
That's awesome. So where did that start? Like, what is it that made you sort of go 5 years ago, this is what I'm going to do? Have you always been interested in health and wellness and astrology and things like that?
Yeah, from the time I was a very little girl, I was very interested in the stars. I always was interested in horoscopes and thought that that was really fun. I'm a Leo sun, and a lot of Leo sun people really love horoscopes because they're painted in a very particular way. I have a Taurus moon and a Virgo rising. For anyone who loves astrology that's listening, they'll understand that. So that's something I was always interested in. However, I never considered making it a career. I was very connected to my intellect, and I decided that going to school for psychology was what I would do, and I would probably go on and get my doctorate, so on and so forth. And so, yes, I've always been very interested in spirituality. I've known things from a very young age, as well as I've had really prolific dreams. And so my dream time actually led me more into this world, because I started to get messages in my dreams. I started to be able to witness past lives, so on and so forth. And I thought everybody dreamed like that, but I didn't know that that wasn't the case. When it comes to health and wellness, I was always a sporty kid. I played many different sports. I was a high-level athlete. Those were things that I absolutely loved. And then when I went to post-secondary, and I had really great grades, I started just getting caught up in the drinking and the drugs and, you know, trying to fit in all the wrong places. I like to say looking for God in all the wrong places. Once a seeker, always a seeker. And that started to lead me down a really interesting path. And it started to change my neural chemistry in my brain, which actually ended up being one of the greatest blessings I ever went through. But at the time, that was really challenging. And so I really did veer away from health and wellness for a really long time. But that's the exact thing that guided me back to it.
I love that. I definitely had an experience, you know, partying way too much and being in that scene. And like you said, seeking, I love that you explained that. What, say that again about God. We're looking for God in all the wrong places. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. And once a seeker, always a seeker.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, we have this trauma or we have these experiences that we don't know how to handle as a teenager or as a young adult. And so we do, we seek it through other things, or we seek healing through things that we're not actually good for us. And it's not until we're in our 20s or we start to evolve a bit more, we start to see more clearly. And then our path is like, oh, this is where we're going. This is our purpose. Yeah. So, I'd love to go back to what you said about past lives, because that just prompted me. I'm going to trust that call. How does someone connect to past lives? Because this is something that people talk about, people are scared of, people aren't sure if it's a good idea. Where do you begin if you're wanting to break that down or have a look and see where your past lives are?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. Everyone believes something different. So not everyone believes that we get incarnated again and again. Some people believe that this is the only life that we live. And I like to meet people wherever they are at. All belief systems are welcome. It's not about converting anyone to one particular belief system. So at the very beginning, what I would suggest for people is, if you want to start understanding past lives, you want to start dealing with this life first, because we can all agree that we've probably been many iterations of ourselves, even in this life. So for example, what I was speaking to earlier, where I'm talking about partying all the time, that's not who I am now. That is another version of Krista. She doesn't really exist anymore. That being said, that is a version of me. So that's a past life, or what I would call in my line of work, a past timeline. Past timelines also need to be integrated. So if you want to start small, start looking at who you've been. Start looking at, who was I when I was 5? What memories do I have? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and keep going through those phases, or any places you have bigger memories, and start looking at those ages. And that's going to start to assimilate the trauma from that time, as well as the good memories. We're not just focused on the negativity. And then you can start to pull those pieces back. The more that you start to integrate and call back versions of yourself, the more magnetic you become. And the more magnetic you become and integrated you become, the more access you can have to these other things. Now, some people, their whole lives have been connected to this realm. It really does depend on where Pisces is in your chart, or where Neptune is in your chart. It also can depend what planets you have in Sagittarius, close and connected to the galactic center. There's so many pieces in astrology that also are indicative of how people process this sort of information. And some people are more earthly based. They've come here with really strong earth codes, and so they don't have as much of a connection or even an interest in that, for that matter. But where I would start is integrating past timelines from this life, and also having a dream journal with you. So when you go to sleep at night, having a journal by your bed, sometimes even drinking a large glass of water so you'll wake up in the middle of the night, because then you'll have more access to your dreams. Or another thing you can do is set your alarm, you know, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes early, so that you can go back to sleep, because in that you'll also get more access through those REM cycles to your dream time.
That's really interesting. I feel like I don't remember any of my dreams. I don't dream, because I don't really remember them. But then I don't know if I'm blocking it, or do we all dream, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think we do. I feel we do. We don't all have as much access to it. Why some people have more access than the others, there's going to be different reasoning for that. I believe that we all just have a different connection to what's called our astral body. Mm-hmm. And we can learn to build out the astral body. And again, what I mentioned with setting the alarm and drinking water and just trying these little techniques, I do believe you can connect to that. Because I've had clients say, I don't dream. And then I've connected them to these little pieces, and then they're starting to remember. It's about, even before you go to bed, being like, I want to dream tonight. I want to remember my dream. Because the human psyche is made up of three parts. And when we dream, that's how we process what happens in our day. But it's also sometimes how we connect to other dimensions. I believe we're a multidimensional being, or we are multidimensional beings. So it is also how we connect to other things. And there are just some people more connected than others, but that doesn't mean you can't build it out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's interesting because, like you say, we're all different and we all experience things differently. So potentially we're getting guidance or messages through other forms as well, as instead of the dreams. So when you say integrating, for people that are listening and not sure of what exactly that means, and we're looking at our past lives or we're integrating our old selves, like you were saying, how do you integrate? Is that through journaling? Is that through meditation? Is that through some sort of tool? Or
yeah, there's a multitude of ways, and I like to encourage people to find what works for them. There's not a one-size-fits-all model when it comes to healing. When you're working with businesses and strategies, that can be more implemented. But when it comes to healing, every human being is so unique and so different. Mm-hmm. And so what that's going to look like for you and what that looks like for me might not necessarily be the same thing. That being said, the number one step is self-awareness. So it's about taking or finding more pause in your life so you can actually pay attention to what's going on. I can attest to my early 20s, I had such a busy analytical mind. I'm a very brilliant person, but if that's left unchecked, it can also look like paranoia. It could also look like anxiety. It can also look like never slowing down. And so really meditation for me, yoga for me, journaling, getting outside into nature, so on and so forth, was really helpful for me. Other people, it could be weightlifting. It could be downhill biking. It could be rock metal. I don't really, you know, care what it is. It's just as long as it guides you closer to your inner self and it allows pause or spaciousness between the thoughts so that you can actually start to pay attention to what's going on behind the scenes. Because we think over 1,000 thoughts a second. There's no way we are connected into all of those thoughts. And most of those thoughts are built off of the limiting beliefs that were installed in our software system between the ages of 0 to 7. And then we're looking out in the world to confirm those limiting beliefs by the thoughts that we think, which creates the energy that we're holding, which creates the experiences that get called into our reality. And if you're someone that's part of a community where there's neurodiversity, where you are different from the mainstream, there's also going to be at times more trauma to need to process. And so there is more time and more love and more compassion that's needed. And it's too bad it's that way. And it won't always be that way. But for now, we're all at very different stages in our healing journey. And we've all gone through very different things. And so, it's going to look very different for each person, but creating space and becoming self-aware is the number one thing that you can start to do for yourself.
Yeah, I used to actually create white space in my calendar. Like, I actually used to block it out so that I had time to like stop. Because just like you, it's like, especially running a business, you're constantly on the go. And if the listeners are listening, you know, that have children and they're trying to run a business and they're trying to be a housewife and they're trying to be all these things, it's very hard to actually stop and not have that white space. Or we're stuck in the scroll hole when we're in the white space, you know? So we're never actually in a moment of blank, right? So it's creating that time for that, for sure. So would you say, Krista, was there any like mentors or people that really influenced your journey or people that inspired you to get to where you are now?
Yeah, there's one mentor that really stands out that I'll speak to. So Chalice Grove, when I started, it actually was an initiation for me just to get creative so I could start to work with my creativity, because I actually didn't think I was creative anymore. I was working as a manager of a bar, serving and bartending and running the bar, you know, 5 days a week. I had education. I had a BA in psychology and English, but I was in so much debt and I knew I needed to serve in order to make those resources at the time. I actually had no intention of starting my own business. At least I don't remember feeling that way. I actually ended up meeting a couple who were in a multi-level marketing business. And I did that for 5 years. And I built out a lot of really powerful and strong containers for myself to understand business. But by the end of those 5 years, because I promised I would give it that amount of time, that's what you should do with any business. I really recommend holding on for 5 years. After that, I realized that that wasn't my sacred calling, that that wasn't why I was put on the planet. And so I transitioned out of that. I actually quit my multi-level and I quit my job at the exact same time, which was in June. Yeah, June 18th of whatever 5 years ago was, 2015. So then I quit. And at the time I was creating jewelry. And so I used to be a jewelry based business. I made mala beads. I made crystal jewelry. That's what Chalice Grove was. And so that was still happening. And I did really well. And I ended up meeting this woman who lives just outside of Calgary where I live. And her name's Sam Orthliev, and she has a company that's called Senses of the Soul, and she helps people heal through herbology. She works with plant medicines to help people. And so I had created this lineup of malas, and I decided to call it the Archetype Series. And I had all these archetypal malas, and I still work with archetypes because that's what signs are in astrology. And I studied Carl Jung in psychology. And so I was very interested and captivated by archetypes, but I didn't even know what they really were. And so for those of you that are like, what are archetypes? It's a great question. Archetypes are patterns of power that underlie all of human experience and behavior. So we think in archetypal language all day long. It's how we categorize people. It's how we categorize situations. And it keeps our brain working and functioning optimally. It's almost like taking even shortcuts. So in one way, it's really beautiful. In another way, you can see how that could cause damage if you're always putting people into boxes and you're not actually taking the time. So when I met Sam, I actually reached out to her because I had created a list of malas, and I saw that she had a list of plant medicines that were the same archetypes. So I didn't feel comfortable releasing that series without clearing it with her first, because I was like, that's so bizarre that we've listed so many of the same. So I sent her an email and she wrote me back. What a gem of a human. She was like, you know, Krista, I would have never known that you even launched this and it was the same. The fact that you reached out just shows me a really high level of integrity that you carry, and I want to meet you. So I met with her and she was like, I want you to make 7 more malas. I'm going to start to sell them out of my space and line them up with every single archetype I'm working with. And she really helped to catapult my business off the ground because she already had a client list that was well established. It was like 15, 20 years in business, right? That she had been building out a reputation with her clients, and she plugged me right into that with jewelry. So that really catapulted my path. And then I started personally working with her so that I could go through deeper layers of healing as well. So that was my number one. And we're still friends. I don't go to her as often anymore. That being said, she is such a beautiful human. And I created an online digital offering a few years later called Healing with Archetypes. And anytime any of that sold, and even to this day, I have a healing bundle where that's offered, especially if you're new on your path, that's the best place to start because I work with more advanced students now. But if you're on the beginning of your path, this is a great place to start. And the astro sessions, and there's a portion of all of that that feeds back into her botanical sanctuary, because she has a botanical sanctuary and garden that has plants that are going extinct just outside of Calgary. So I get to feed back and serve her in that way, which is really powerful.
How special is that? And the synchronicity of life, like how is it? It's amazing. That is so great. And with the archetypes, like are they like, I may be wrong, I've been listening to a couple of things on this lately. Are they like your magician? And is that the archetypes you're talking about? Or can you share a little bit more on the archetypes?
Yeah. So, and it's a great question because many people don't know what archetypes are. We do know intrinsically, but we don't know. It's kind of paradoxical in that way. So something like the magician, the high priestess, the magical child, the earth mother, even the entrepreneur, that's an archetype. These are all archetypal patterns. So what we're used to is when we're children, we get initiated with archetypes through things like Walt Disney or things through Pixar. So the prince, the princess, the king, the queen, the evil stepmother, the witch, these are all archetypal patterns, and they're innumerable. And they're changing all the time based on human evolution. So in one way, archetypes are non-material, right? Because they're thoughts, they're ideas. Even a mom, that's an archetype. So going from a maiden into mother, from going through the initiation of birthing a baby, that's an archetype. So even though moms might not know what to do, there's a part of them that initiates as soon as that baby gets here, and they know what to do. Right? So it's an energy. So Carl Jung talked about this because when he was working with many of his clients, he noticed that through that, there was a repeating patterns that showed up again and again. And he was a Swiss psychologist and psychiatrist, for those who don't know who Carl Jung is. And he worked with Sigmund Freud. Many people know who Freud is. And so he ended up, he was the first person who even created the word synchronicity. So when we use this word, we're actually referring to Carl Jung. Now, I don't agree with all of his theories, but that being said, he held a lot of really beautiful understandings of the human psyche, one being the collective conscious and the collective unconscious that we're plugging into. So archetypes are these patterns that we plug into every single day. And I'll give you a really concrete and pragmatic example, because I like to keep things really pragmatic for those who think in that way, because that used to be me. So for example, we all have an inner child within us. It could be the wounded child, could be the magical child, right? There's lots of different ways that this shows up in our life. Older generations, especially of our parents, would be working more with a wounded child archetype. So every time they're like, I'm not being seen, I'm not being loved, that's triggering me, my parents never showed up for me. What they're doing through their emotions is creating an energy. And I like to refer to this, I use an analogy of computers a lot, because we aren't so different from them, because we created them. We're very different that we have empathy and compassion, but we run very similar on a biological level. So archetypes are like the cloud on your computer. Many people don't know what it is, right? What's the cloud? But it's there, and it stores information. So archetypes store the energy that we create, actually stores that information. And the more information that's in that cloud, new babies that come on this planet, they can grab from that energy. This is why when healing and yoga and meditation and self-awareness and all of these modalities around health and well-being began to explode and blossom, we're now contributing more to a magical child archetype. And the more that we contribute to that cloud, the newer children that come onto this planet have a different availability to what they can choose, because there's less energy pulling at the trauma and more energy pulling at the healed. Does that make sense?
Amazing. It's so, there's just so much information out there, right? And it's so intriguing and interesting how it all links to us as humans, and how we have an experience because of our past, because of our traumas, because of our patterns and all these things. It's like this giant rabbit hole. I always say that when you go on this personal development journey, be ready, because it's like once you start diving in, it almost screws you over, because you're suddenly aware of what's going on and you want to learn more and more and more. And it's sometimes hard to find where to start, but that's why I'm digging into a few different topics as you're bringing them up, because they're so interesting. So I love, Krista, on your website, you've got liberate yourself from the upside down and learn to live passionately, purposeful and prosperous in the wide awake. Can you share with us a little more about what that's about?
Yeah. So the reason I use that language, and it is quite vague, right, is because it is going to appear and vibrate with a very particular type of person. And I do that on purpose because, like I said, I am usually working with more advanced students. So there's something about that that'll pull them in. The background behind that, and I received this in one of my daily practices, is we live in what would appear to be an inversion. Some people call this the matrix. And that's what I refer to as the upside down. Now, if you ever watch the show series, Stranger Things, they talk about the upside down. That's where originally that came to me, and I started doing research on it. It's an alternate dimension that has a lot of like scary demon monster things. Okay. And so when I really sat with it, I started to recognize that our trauma, our pain, our lifetimes and lineages of grief that we're carrying creates these monsters inside of us that are unloving, that are disconnected, that shy away from love and belonging, even though that's all we desperately want, right? It creates patterns that harden into personality. And then we show up in the world and think that's who we are, when really that is not who we are, right? And so the upside down is when we're living in what I call the inversion. So we're living in an upside down world that appears to be one thing, when in fact it's actually another. So what I help humans do is I liberate them from this inversion, so they can reduce and remove the residue from the past that's keeping them trapped in fear and allies with illusion. And in liberating them from the upside down, they can start to live in the wide awake. The wide awake is an alternate reality or dimension that exists right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And the reason I know this is because I've lived in the upside down. I've struggled with this. There's a tip for anyone who's in business: whatever you struggle with becomes your life's purpose. And so I was so trapped in the upside down for so long. What do I look like? What clothes am I wearing? How cool am I? How strong can do people perceive me as? You know, I had a lot of distortions in my field. I had a lot of limiting beliefs and I had a lot of trauma. And so I had to liberate myself from that and learn to live in the wide awake. And when I did that, my whole reality started changes. And there's layers to it. It doesn't happen all at once. I want to touch on what you said. You first start this journey, you're right. All of a sudden you're like, I wish I didn't know. I wish I could go back. Oh my God, I can't like close the lid on this thing. And now what? I now know all my trauma. I now know all the ways that I, you know, sabotage myself, so on and so forth. And it is overwhelming, but I can attest to if you stick to it through perseverance and through unconditional love, eventually it's almost like you pierce through that veil and life changes. Life changes so dramatically that you can't even believe you were once that person. And that's the difference between people who really succeed and people who don't. I watch people break glass ceilings all the time. You know, they never had wealth in their family and all of a sudden they're starting to step into six-figure status, seven-figure status. And this is only possible through liberating ourselves from what I call the upside down. So that includes all your limiting beliefs, all your programs, any distortions, any density. This is also the law of karma, the law of cause and effect that I can trace and track in a natal chart. So even when I do astrological readings with people, it's not about that's the stamp of who you are. It's liberating yourself from that astrological imprint using the highest octaves of those archetypes rather than getting trapped in the lower octaves, because each one has a positive and a negative pull. And then through that, you can liberate yourself to step into this wide awake frequency. And then it's a whole new playing field.
I love that, you know, especially this year, because would you agree that this year we're having a little bit of a shake up of the upside down world?
Yes, which is why it makes a ton of sense that that would come to me at this time, right? That became my battle cry or my call to help other humans. You know, my business went up 650% as soon as COVID started.
Not amazing.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And it's been such a stretch for me personally. And also, you know, I feel like it happened all at once. And it was also something that I was building out for years and years and years. And people are hungry. They're ready, because the truth is, you know, at your core, who you really are. There's a higher part of you that's even listening to these words. That's like, oh yeah. Because when you think back on being young, who were you when you were little? How did you show up in the world? Were you playful? Were you exuberant? Maybe you were shy, but really sweet. You know, we again have all these programs that get installed. They usually happen, like I said, between the ages of 0 to 7, but they continue to repeat and harden into personalities we go through life because we're looking to make those programs accurate, to affirm them for ourselves so we can stay safe. And that sounds backwards. And it is, because that's called living in the upside down.
I love that. I love that, like, that I asked you that question, because there's so much depth to it. And it's funny, again, synchronicity. When I have guests on the show, I like to really research and understand different parts so that I can showcase them at their best. And that really stood out to me for some reason on your website. And I was like, I really got to ask her more about this, which is amazing because there was such a story behind it. Really beautiful. So if we get a little bit practical, because I love to give people some things that they can do, if they're sort of waking up, let's say, from the upside down world this year especially, where do people begin? Like, if they're starting to go, oh yeah, this isn't really resonating anymore, I'm a bit more curious about why I'm seeing things a little differently now, where do we start?
Yeah, that is such a beautiful question. And again, that's going to be very unique for each person. I would at first connect in, just close the eyes all the way down. Again, if you've had a lot of trauma in your body, closing the eyes might not feel safe. So you may want to keep the eyes just 1/10 open and just kind of stare at a candle, a drishti, a point of focus. Staring at one image is really powerful. Just lighting a candle and looking at it, creating white noise. I love that you block off time, you know, just to get really silent. Close the eyes down if that's available to you, and then stretch the optical nerve up. This is a really powerful practice. And it can change the way that our pineal gland secretes. Same with our pituitary gland. So when you close the outer eyes, you can lift the gaze upward. So the optical nerve stretches and you start to gaze between the brow center, or what many would call the third eye point. in doing so, that shifts the secretion, which can land you closer to your intuition. And then just begin to deepen the breath. Like, I'm talking, this is step one. If you're like, I don't know where to go, this is step one. And start to deepen the breath. I like to teach people what's called rhythmic breathing or container breath. Now, we have an electromagnetic field around our body. It has an electrical energy and a magnetic energy, something that sends signals out and sends, and then we receive frequency back. So when you start breathing really deeply, you actually are feeding this field. It's also called the aura, the morphogenic field, right? There's many names that it goes by. But this allows you to start, like, what is going on? Maybe you notice all of a sudden I'm slowing down and I feel so anxious. Well, then that's where you would start. What can I do to deal with my anxiety? That would be the first question if you noticed anxiousness. If you notice sadness, you might ask yourself, what could I do to start to sit with and lean into the sadness so that I could release it, right? I like to talk to my ailments, if you will, like they were a friend, or talk to denser emotions like they were a friend. Now, believe it or not, I used to be a very angry person, very angry. And so I would wake up when I was going through my awakening process. So I've been on this journey for 10 years. My awakening happened in 2010. And so I would get up in the morning and say, hello, anger. Good morning. How are you? I know that you're there and I'm going to be with you every step of the way today. So if you happen to come out, I'm going to support you, right? And then I started playing around with it. So if someone would cut me off in traffic and I'd finger them and be like, fuck you. I would just be like, oh. Oh, I was like, I have no problem sharing exactly who I was because those were programs. That isn't who I am. Those were just defense mechanisms set up to keep me safe. That's what we're doing when we have trauma. We're just trying to protect ourselves. So I have so much compassion. I don't make excuses for and I don't condone bad behavior. However, I have a lot of compassion for people who are in their bullshit because I understand. And so when I would finger someone and say, you know, F you, all of a sudden I'd have to get aware enough in that moment to go, oh my God, that's anger. There it is. Oh my God, anger. That's so interesting. What a cool thing to be human and to experience anger. And I just started playing around with it. So first step, yes, close the eyes, lift the gaze, start to breathe deeply, container breath, create your container, your bubble, your protection, and then see what comes up for you because that'll be the first thing you want to start looking at. And you can write on the top of a page, how do I show up for my blank? And then just see what comes through.
That's so helpful and so great because it's the simplicity of this stuff for people because some people are just like so overwhelmed. They don't know where to start. They know they've got to look at things, but where do you even begin? So that's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I think people can really benefit from that. And it's really just creating that awareness and then asking some quality questions around that and getting in touch with it. And like you said, becoming its friend and really getting inquisitive like that. I really love that. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, people talk about shadow work. They talk about, you know, your traumas, deep wounds. Do we all have that? And is this something we all need to heal to move forward and experience life from a different level or experience life in, like you said before, in the wide awake and not the upside down? And where do we carry that in our body, you know, traumas and things like that?
This is a great question because this is something that's shifting for me tremendously the more that I've been on this path, my understanding of trauma. So yes, we do carry trauma in ourselves. We carry trauma from lifetimes and lineages. So again, if you don't believe in multiple lives, then just look at all the lives you've lived in this life and notice where you're holding that trauma. We touched on that back at the beginning, right? Finding what ages and then seeing where you can love yourself more. We carry these traumas because we are here in a physical form to work through them. That's why we have bodies. It's a beautiful thing to experience life, to have joy, to have pain, to have pleasure, all of the things. Will we always need to experience polarity in such an intense way? I don't believe so. But right now, that is how it is. And in our lifetime, we're probably not going to see it so different in the sense that we're trauma-free. It's going to be a very different universe, even by 2021. There's a lot of things that are astrologically shifting. And you're right. People are waking up. They're starting to see the upside down for what it is. So I do believe at this stage, we all have trauma. And it gets passed down from our parents. It gets passed down in utero from your mother. So knowing your birth story is also a really important thing. Asking your mom if you have a relationship with her, good quality questions. What was your relationship with dad like? Did you want me? Did you take drugs at my birth? Was it traumatic? How long were you in labor? Was I held right away? So on and so forth. Be very sure if that's something that you do, though, that you set it up with your mother or your caregiver to say that you're not going to judge them for whatever their answers are, that you really just want to understand it better so that you can heal. That's a really, really important piece. So yes, we do all have trauma. It does live in our cells. PTSD, anxiety, depression, so on and so forth. Everyone's nervous system is very different. Now, it's my belief system that people who experience things like quote unquote mental illness, and I say that because there's such a plethora of things out there, and there's obviously a varying degree to each of these things. I deeply believe that these are the sensitive people of the world. And that's why they respond in such a way, because they're so sensitive to external stimulus. They also have so much trauma inside their bodies that a discrepancy starts to happen with their inner and outer world, and they don't know how to process that. When I was in the depth of my awakening process, I was having an anxiety attack every day for 6 months. I thought I was going to die, and I thought I was going to be hospitalized. I did not know I was going to get out of that alive. But that was a higher calling and a higher purpose for me. I learned how to heal myself from the inside out through meditation, through yoga, through everything we're talking about. You know, the coaching and mentorship program that I have isn't based off of how another coach taught me how to build it out. This is built off of my life's work. What I did step by step, I offer to clients so that they can start to build out these pieces as well. And so, yes, we all have trauma, but that doesn't have to stop us. Trauma is showing you what still is unintegrated and wants love. It wants belonging. And it's your responsibility to release your mommy and daddy as an adult, because they just did the best that they could with the tools that they had, and start to mother and father yourself as best as you can to nurture yourself, to love yourself into the wide awake.
That's so such a beautiful way of looking at it, because I think it can be scary for people to think they've got trauma. I just don't want to look at it. Don't show me. Don't even, you know, bring that near me. But really, it's a chance for us to grow. It's a chance for us to evolve. And that's a really, I think that's a really beautiful way to look at it. Because do you feel that we have the answers within us, right? People say that all the time. People, you know, hear that all the time. Is that because as we unlayer ourselves, we become more connected, that we can find the answers, we can figure out our purpose, we can gain more clarity? What does it mean when someone says we have all the answers within us?
Yeah, the answer to that question is absolutely yes. We do have all of the answers within us. And we also have blind spots. So this is why hiring a coach or a mentor is beautiful, because even though I've been on this path for so long, you better believe I have a spot that I can't see that someone else can pinpoint for me. I work with a one-on-one coach myself. And so it's really beautiful to start to understand first and foremost that that's true for you, because other people can get caught in like new teacher, next program, and they just keep going and they keep offloading their own power onto somebody else, expecting them to fix them or heal them. And it's never going to work that way. And you're actually going to get disappointed and probably waste thousands of dollars. It's really about like, okay, how do I take radical responsibility for the world in which I see around me? Now, I'm not speaking to what's going on in the world right now. You don't need to take responsibility for that. I'm speaking to my own personal sovereignty, my own personal sphere, what goes on in my day-to-day interactions and how I treat myself. You know, we speak to ourselves in the same voice that our parents often speak to us. And if you share with someone else and you're sharp with your tongue, you also speak to yourself like that, because you wouldn't be able to speak to someone else like that. That's the voice of your own reckoning, right? That is your own internal dialogue. So the softer you can get with yourself, the softer you can get with others, again, having boundaries. And this is going to help you understand that you do contain these answers. It's like going to the gym. If you want to build muscle, you've got to build out with weights. You've got to show up to your mat. You've got to show up to the machine. You've got to show up and be accountable. We also have other types of muscles that we build out. And if you want to build the muscle where you understand that you do have the answers within, you've got to start taking accountability and responsibility for your healing journey. The more you remove or reduce the residue of the past through radical love, the more you'll get access to, you actually won't even believe what you'll get access to, because then once there's spaciousness, all of a sudden things open up for you. And I'm a firm believer that we have a creator. So I don't take full responsibility for all the work that I do. I don't take full responsibility for the ways that I channel information. I channel information and I have access to these quantum realms because I'm connected to my creator. And that's my journey and my story, because when I went through another awakening in 2018 and 2019, that was so intense. I was reconnected to the stars. I was reconnected to the solar system. I was reconnected to astrology. That's how my business started to shift and change. I've pivoted four times with Chalice Grove. It has not been the same thing. So if you want to know that you have those answers within, start getting humble and asking for help.
I love that. And it is, it's like, don't hand away your power, because the answers are within and you do have the power of that. Excuse me. It's almost like having someone hold your hand as well along that journey with you. With your awakenings, let's say, what do they look like? Because people, you know, speak of these quite often. Can you share a little bit on the 2018 through 2019 one and what that looked like for you and how you evolved, or like what were the things that were happening in that experience?
Yeah, beautiful question. So you can tell a lot about where your trauma is around betrayal and around even rejection or abandonment, more so abandonment, betrayal, and violation of emotional trust. I can track that in a natal chart with Pluto. And Pluto's generational. So Pluto will mark a generation between for like 17 to 30 years. So anyone in your age category is going to have a Pluto in the same thing. So although you're unique with your unique signature, which is your natal chart, you're also going to be sharing some things with these people through this generation. And so understanding how this trauma shows up is really important, because you can start to liberate yourself from that trauma. So for me, because I have a Pluto in Libra, a lot of my initiations come through relationships. Mm-hmm. So in 2017, I ended a 3-year relationship. It was a very serious relationship. I lived with this person. And I could have been very happy and continued on in that way, but there was something very deep within me that was like, this is not your person, you need to leave. Now, leaving someone when you're no longer in love with them is one thing. Leaving someone when you're still in love with them, but you know they're not right for you anymore for your path, is another. Because would I have stepped into who I am now, still in that relationship, there's a good chance it wouldn't have happened. And when that relationship ended, the way that it ended and some things that happened afterwards that I won't get into because they're not important, they spun me and all my trauma started to come to the stuff that I had thought I had dealt with that came right back up. And this is a great part to share this, because oftentimes we'll repeat patterns or things will come up again and you're like, oh my God, I never learned my lesson. I'm repeating the pattern. That's not what's happening. What's happening is that you're getting to look at that pattern at a deeper level now, or at a higher octave. It's the same thing when someone comes to you as a client and says, oh yeah, I've already done that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's amazing. But yet now you're working with it at a new octave, because you're in a different stage in your development. You're in a different stage where you're ready to process. So we're going to go through this in a completely new frequency. So there is no I've already, right? Because we're always evolving. And so that relationship ending catapulted me into 2 years, and this is not glamorous and I don't wish this upon anyone. That being said, I needed to go through this. I cried every day for 365 days, if not longer, and not all day, every day, but there was not a day that didn't go by that I didn't cry. Why? Because I had so much unhealed trauma still from childhood and from other lifetimes that I needed to process. And when I was a little girl, I came in very stubborn. Like, I mean, I came in this way. I didn't learn this. And I wouldn't cry. Not to say I never cried, but like when life was hard, my mom would be like, it's okay if you cry. And I'd just be like, bite my lip and wouldn't let myself. And so I'd spent so many years suppressing my emotions that I needed to deal with them. And now I cry all the time, and not even because I'm sad. In fact, I have a process that I teach clients that we teach ourselves to laugh and cry at the same time. So if I cry now, I'm usually end up laughing. It's just an experience and I don't attach to it anymore. And so, yeah, it was through a relationship, and almost all my awakenings have come through the endings of relationships.
It's so amazing that you say that. And I don't know if we spoke about this when I had a session with you a little while ago, but I feel I resonate with that so much. My relationships have been my absolute greatest teachers and broken me so much that I've re-evolved into this new person every time, new layers, new development. So I really resonate with that. It's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. So share a little bit more on astrology. And I mean, I think like you shared earlier about horoscopes and things, that's what people think of, I think, when they think of astrology. Are these like things we can actually rely on? And where do we start if we want to look at astrology?
Yeah, well, I would say, and I take everything with a grain of salt, right? Even when I share with people, it's like, take what resonates, leave the rest. This comes back to your original question about you have the answers within. If you're outsourcing that through a horoscope, you're already giving some of your power away. And that's not the point. And that's not how I use astrology. I like to utilize astrology in a way that allows people to see how their planetary placement builds strength for them. And in fact, I created a new astrology. It wasn't my intention. I didn't know that's what I was going to do. I started offering readings because that's what spirit had said to me. That's how I felt guided. I did it off the cuff and I was like, we'll see how this goes. And then my whole business just started to explode and my calendar booked out and everyone wanted readings. And then it became very clear that I was channeling. And so through that, I started to realize, while yes, it's cute and you can read your horoscope and and it's not like they're completely wrong. There's things in there that can be of great service to you. That being said, we don't outsource our power. Our power is intrinsic and it's inherent. It is inside of us. So Golden Age astrology is a way to look at the natal chart with new context, expression, and meaning. There's new symbols present. And so I like to utilize these new symbols because they help to liberate us from the upside down and from the lower octaves of the personality constructs. Most astrology that you read are personality constructs. It keeps us in the personality matrix. Mm-hmm. I work with what's called the soul matrix or the monadic matrix or even the avatar matrix. So I start to help people liberate out of these platforms or levels. And as long as we're in human form, we're still living in a matrix. So I'm not suggesting this is a negative thing. It depends on how you navigate the system, because we can navigate the system and it can serve us exponentially, or we can navigate the system and we can become victim to it, so on and so forth. So the sun sign is what most people know, and that is such a small part of who you are. And in fact, your rising sign is more of a significant factor in developing out your soul body and your avatar, because avatar means your light body. Because when you were born and you took your first breath, you're snapshotting the electromagnetic frequency of the planetary placement in the sky, that which is above the horizon and that which is below the horizon. And your rising sign is also what you're stepping into in this life. It dictates your entire chart, because wherever that placement is, the subsequent signs are going to happen after that. So it's setting your whole chart up. So that's actually something, and I encourage people who are new to astrology, if you just know your sun, you can go to astro.com. You can click on free horoscope and then go to extended chart selection, enter in your birth data. You do need the time, you need the place, you need the date of your birth, and then see what is my sun, my moon, and my rising. Astrology is so complex and beautiful. I have a year-long program that I can continue to extract information out of someone's chart. Out of a year, it just keeps giving. So there's so much there. If you're brand new, starting with your sun, your moon, and your rising can be really powerful to start to understand yourself a little bit better. It's not just your sun. And it's also about the houses that these planets sit in. So it's a different frequency. And I'm excited for more people to learn about astrology. I'm creating an introduction to Golden Age astrology course so that people can start to find how to read their chart, how to get into their chart. What is their sun, moon, rising? What's their Pluto? What's their Mars, their Venus, so on and so forth? Because it really does shift the way that we can understand ourselves.
I love that you're going to do that, because I think it is so broad, and working with someone like yourself obviously helps you to go deeper in that. But for the people that are looking to just dive into it and dip their toes into it sort of thing, that would be amazing. I know I'd be interested in that because it's not something I'm broadly interested in, but it's something that I'd love to understand a little more of. So definitely keep us posted for that. I'd love to ask you, what do you feel is happening collectively at the moment, or consciously, or however you want to view it, as we move into 2021? What do you think we can expect as we shift?
Yeah. So again, I don't do predictive work. What I will share is that each and every single one of us is dictating what does happen. We are going through a quantum leap. Yes. And it's going to require an immense amount of faith. This is why I say connecting to something. Whatever that means to you, a tree, the universe, the solar system, a God, that's totally up to you, right? All belief systems are welcome. But to think that we're doing this all by ourselves, and especially the way that the New Age movement and that religion was created, it was created as an inversion so that people started to think, I am God. I create my own reality. Yeah, that's true to some degree, but that's not the whole truth. And if you start playing God, well, then if something challenging happens in your life, you're going to take that really hard. That's going to be a lot of pressure on you. And so how do you have enough humility to surrender to how your life is unfolding, be present to exactly how it is, while also in the present moment through healing and deep love and practice, creating a new reality for yourself for the future? So collectively, we do have a conjunction coming up on December 19th that hasn't happened for 400 years. Okay. This is a massive shift in consciousness. The shakedown is happening so that people start to ask themselves deeper questions, not only about who they are, but what they are and whose they are. Who do you belong to? This is where the bigger energy comes in, right? Because we are multidimensional beings. That is what I believe. I have access to that. And so more and more people are awakening to themselves as souls, not as physical bodies. And so this is what this is designed for. We are going to see more systems collapse. We're going to see more rebellion. We're going to see more people start to fight back with what's going on because they're starting to see the numbers. They're starting to do their research. They're starting to put the things together, and it's not making a lot of sense. Is there a virus that's killing people? Yeah. And my heart completely goes out to anyone who has experienced that or who has lost someone. This is not meant to sound cavalier or not in compassion for what people are going through, especially people also that have lost their jobs and their businesses. But what I would ask is for a reframe, to look through a new set of glasses and ask yourself, was I really happy there? Is this really what I want to be doing with my life? What is this person's death teaching me about myself? I lost someone, not to COVID, but I lost one of my best friends. And it was the hardest thing I ever went through. And I had PTSD after that. And she catapulted me onto this path. Does it make it okay that she's gone? No. Do I grieve it still? Of course. But if, you know, I don't believe that this is the end. This is not, when we die, we just, as John Lennon said, we just get out of one car and step into another. And that's what I believe. So when we can start opening ourselves up to that, some people are leaving right now. They don't want to be on this planet anymore either, right? So this huge awakening is happening. Our energy is shifting. And I would actually like to go even a step further because I love the background of psychology and epigenetics. I braid that into all that I do because we are actually shifting on a molecular level. So our DNA is starting to shift. And there is something called ascension symptoms, which looks like your immune system getting taken out. Looks like getting tired, looks like getting a cold, sinus infections, fatigue, dizziness, vertigo. These symptoms should never last longer than between 2 days to a week. If they do, then it's not an ascension symptom. It's something else that your body's going through. But we do have ascension symptoms where our body's getting recalibrated. Again, I'm going to use the example of technology. When your iPhone needs a new iOS, what happens? You have to initiate that and shut the sucker down. When you're getting a new system upgrade, you've got to slow down and shut down so that your body can assimilate that new frequency. So that's happening on the 19th. We have an astrological event on the 21st as well, which is super rare, where there's an alignment of planets. there are many different belief systems around what's going to happen. What I'll say about that is I do personally feel that we are collectively choosing to jump timelines. What I mean by that is there are many forks in the road along our path. If you choose to say yes to drugs, that could lead you down a whole different thing. And that would have happened to me if my anxiety didn't bring me back, right? So that would have been a splice or a split in my consciousness where then I go down a different path. Right now, the people who are listening to this podcast are the people, you wouldn't have been called to this space if it wasn't true, are the people who are choosing to contribute to this next layer and this next lens of this great awakening. And what you do now matters. What you do now matters. This doesn't mean you have to sit and chant or meditate every single day, all day. That's not what I'm suggesting. I mean, waking up and being grateful that you're here. I mean, reaching out to someone that you love. I mean, talking to your organs if they're causing you grief, talking to your personality constructs that are no longer serving you, deep diving into your trauma so that you can heal, journaling, hiring a coach, hiring a mentor. There's honestly never been a better time ever to do that. And many of us have been preparing to hold space for people because we knew that this was coming to some degree. Those 2 years from 2018 to 2019, I was in isolation. I was sick for those 2 years. I lost everything. My business almost went under. So I went through my own personal version of what a lot of people are going through. And I know how to navigate that space now. And I know how to come out the other side to live in the wide awake. So there are many people on the planet that have been preparing for this, whether they know that that's what they've been preparing for or not. And they're ready to be of assistance and to help. And so it's a really beautiful time. There really has never been a better time to start to deep dive into your stuff.
It's interesting you say that because I recently have felt called to go back to God or go back to connecting on a spiritual level and really knowing that there is someone that I can have faith in and someone that I can connect to and that is looking over. Or I just felt this really, really big pull recently on doing so and having that support there. And so not like going full Christian, but having just knowing that there's that God, that source, that universal power that is providing us faith and trust and direction as well. And it's interesting you spoke on the 19th, I didn't know about, but I didn't hear about the 21st. So when you say that's all happening, do we feel, do we see what happens for us in that time for anyone that's like, oh no, should I be worried about that coming?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It is Saturn that's showing up in Aquarius with conjuncting. Conjunct just means two planets are between 0 to 10 degrees apart, depending on the astrologer. Some like a closer orb than that, 0 to 8 degrees. But these planets are going to come into an exact conjunction at 0 degrees Aquarius. So many of you have probably heard the Aquarian age, the dawning of the Aquarian age. Once Saturn moves into Aquarius with Jupiter, that is really the beginning of what we call the Aquarian or the Golden Age. And this, the last time there was a Golden Age, we were in the time of Leo. And right across from Leo on the chart is Aquarius. They're a twin flame pair. So even though there are 12 zodiac, I actually only see 6 energies. Those 6 energies are the same core frequency that show up in very different ways. So whatever sign you are, you have an opposite. I'm a Leo, so I have an Aquarius opposition. You know when you're stepping into your highest octaves of your sign when you start to show up as your opposite sign. So Leo would be an energy of very much this being the center of attention or very much like gregarious and a leader and so on and so forth. Whereas Aquarius is someone who's going to show up and cares about the whole, cares about each individual, cares about equality. It's also rebellion against authority. And this is karmic because Saturn represents karma and it also represents structures and systems. So that means they're going to start to be dismantled. The last time Saturn dipped into Aquarius was when the Black Lives Matter movement happened. And then it went retrograde and it went back into Capricorn. And we've been dealing with all of this since last December 21st when these mass conjunctions first started in Capricorn. So any babies that have a lot of Capricorn in their chart, they got hit really hard this year and they're being dismantled from the inside out. That's on purpose to prepare them for what's coming. So this 19th conjunction, it is about a great awakening. I don't feel there's anything to fear. However, if you're not listening to your soul, you're going to get pushed around a little bit. And that's just what the planets do because they love you and they want you to step up into your highest frequency.
Yeah, I love that. And it's just bringing you back to the core and truth of who you are, really. And that's what we have to remember. So start listening, start cracking wide open. I love that. There's so much I want to continue talking about and asking you, and I could have you here forever. But let's start to wind things up because I do value your time. Is there something that you're currently reading at the moment? I always love to ask this question because I think we can learn a lot from what other people are diving into and learning from. Are you listening to some sort of audio book, or is there a book on your bedside table?
Yeah, beautiful. So I go through phases where I read a lot and then nothing at all. And there's silence, right? There's that space. Right now, I've just picked up two books because I'm very much into neuroscience. And I like studying the biology behind the work that I'm doing. So the work that I'm doing is very esoteric. And so I like to meet people where they're at. So I'm actually reading My Stroke of Insight by Jill Bolte Taylor. It's a beautiful story of a neuroscientist who had a stroke and lost her left hemisphere of her brain.
Right.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And there's a TED Talk that's so inspirational. If you search that, it's the best TED Talk I've ever seen. And then another book that I just picked up that I'm going to deep dive into again that I haven't read since 2010 is The Biology of Belief. And that's by Dr. Bruce Lipton. And that's all about epigenetics. So that's all about you change on a cellular level when you change your environment. You can change your genes. And I'm really into that because I know that that's possible. And that is what we do in the astro sessions. That is what we do when we're doing quantum healing, so on and so forth. It's about going in and shifting things through light and through sound.
I think that's really something I love about you is that, yes, you are like what some people would say is woo-woo and a bit in that space, but you do bring that beautiful science and psychology and mind, you know, logic, I guess, to some degree in with what you do as well. And that I think creates such a powerful, powerful offering because you are combining the two, which a lot of people don't do. And I really like that. So it's really great that you shared that. And it's a very powerful message to be coming from. So do you have any daily habits or rituals or things that you do to stay in this beautiful space that you're in, to be successful in your business, to be able to hold space and show up for others as well?
Yeah. So I have a morning practice that I do. Again, I'm someone who has structure, but fluidity within the structure. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the same thing every day. When I was in 2018 and 19, I did 40-day meditation increments, the same thing for 2 years. I did a new meditation every day for 40 days for 2 years. And then once I did that, I don't feel the need to do that so much anymore. So now I have a lot more flow with what it is that I do. But I do have a daily warm-up series that I do, that I teach to clients that I have in the astro sessions. And that gets into the spine. I also love to keep it simple. When you're brushing your teeth, imagine you're releasing anything you didn't want to say or you don't want to say throughout your day, right? You can take practical things and turn them into powerful things. You're having a shower, you're releasing any dense energy from the field that you don't want to have in the body. Another thing that I do is a Taiwanese tea ceremony. I like to do that a few days a week. I just sit with tea in silence. That's a really beautiful way to connect into my energy field. And I have a daily practice in the morning with a skincare routine. So if I don't massage my face in the morning, I feel like something's terribly off. So I get oils going and I massage my whole face to move through and drain the lymph. That's just a self-care practice that's really powerful and important to me. And then maybe once a week, I like to bath with Epsom salts. But again, there's a lot of fluidity. My main thing is I'm making sure I'm doing at least one thing a day that feels really nourishing. It's so second nature to me now because I've been on this path for so long.
I love that. That's really beautiful. And I love how you're using simple things like cleaning your teeth and showering and washing away, let's say, what's been happening that day or things that you're holding on to. It's such an easy way for people to implement. So you've shared so much beautiful wisdom with us today, and I'm so grateful I had you on the show. Is there anything else you'd love to leave us with today?
This is something I share often, and it feels just as true as every time I've shared it. As it does now. And that is that we're not alone. And that's not in a creepy, someone's watching you, better, obey this religious dogmatic Godhead. What this means is you have a team, a guardianship, a support system that is with you all the time. I've seen it. And they are supporting your mission. They are supporting your path. They are supporting your assignment on this planet. And asking for help and calling on them to support you or calling on your God or whatever you believe in to support you can be a game changer. So knowing that you have that support is such a beautiful way to carry out the rest of your 2020 and to boldly step into your 2021. Because when you know that you are on mission and assignment, you're not going to care what other people think about you. And that's a game changer for your business.
That's a beautiful lesson. Thank you so much. So where can people find you and connect with you and pop into your DMs or even potentially work with you going into 2021?
Yeah, beautiful. So I have a website, Chalice Grove, chalicegrove.com, and you can find all the resources there. I do primarily most of my work on Instagram like you do. And so my Instagram is at Chalice Grove. I do have a couple programs that are being launched for 2021. I have a full client schedule until then, but I am going to open registration for Intro to Golden Age Astrology in January. That's going to launch in February. And then in February, the applications are going to get rolling for the next round of the Astro sessions.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time tonight and today for me. And it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah. Thank you so much for asking me. I just adore you and I'm so grateful. And I just love watching you take up space and do and be everything that you are.
What an amazing, amazing amount of wisdom and beauty that Krista brought to today's episode. I hope you learned something new and that you were open-minded as you listened to today's episode, and that going into the next couple of weeks that you are also open-minded to what's on its way energetically. If you love this episode, don't forget to share it with someone that you love and care about that you know would also love this episode. And don't forget to pop over and say hi to Krista or I in the DMs. And until next week, I hope that the rest of your week is amazing.